This is an iHeart podcast.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Another hour of the Jesse Kelly Show on a wonderful, absolutely wonderful Thursday. So let's talk about a couple dark things this hour. We're going to talk about our lack of trust in the government. Something really good is happening. Good things are happening at the FBI, believe it or not. We'll do more emails, make fun of this CBS host, all that and more is still to come. So there's an article here out of Newsmax that a plurality of Americans do not accept government economic stats. Now that, on its face, it doesn't seem like a big deal, right? Okay, the government, they're going to put out some stats and most Americans are all, I don't believe it. But this actually goes to a crisis that we do have in this country that I believe can be fixed, but it's going to take a long time and it's going to take a lot of effort. The crisis is the American people don't trust their institutions anymore, any of them. This goes way beyond economics data. Because of how evil they acted during COVID, you understand Americans are going to ignore the CDC the next time we get a disease? And countries get diseases. There's always a new virus, a new something floating around. And hey, that the next one might be deadly serious. And I'm not trying to fearmonger. I don't know that we're going to get one anytime soon. But inevitably, at some point in time, someone's going to get sick. There's going to be something here. And in that moment, we will need a central database, a central hub of people we trust to bring us the truth. And that has traditionally been the Center for Disease Control. But since the Center for Disease Control got taken over by evil communists like every other institution, they used their power during COVID to smash your liberty and bump up pharmaceutical sales. Now when normal Americans hear CDC, they sneer and roll their eyes. And so the next director of the CDC who comes to you and says, we have this terrible virus. It's the worst thing I've ever seen. It's the Chris virus. You need to lock yourself up in your home. You only drink bottled water. You make sure you're taking vitamin C. Make sure most Americans would be like, yeah, they're probably lying again. Won't you? I will. Look, we're about to talk about the FBI. It'd be a good thing, but about to talk about the FBI. I've told you this before. I will not speak to the FBI under any circumstances. None. Unless my lawyer is sitting there present. I could get home tonight and I could have an FBI agent knock on my door and say, hey, we're on the lookout for a drug dealer. We saw him driving through your neighborhood. What do you know? And I'll slam the door in his face. Nope, call my lawyer. I don't speak to the FBI. That's not my fault. You want to take the federal police arm and use it, aim it at Republicans? Use it to protect Democrats the way you did Hunter Biden, the way you did Joe Biden, the way you did Hillary Clinton, and then unleash it like a military force against your political opponents. You don't ever get my support or help again at all under any circumstances. Nope, call my lawyer. Well, we're just looking for a drug dealer. Call my lawyer. But what's your name? Call my lawyer. That's my answer. Call my lawyer, period. But that's bad, isn't it? Because I don't feel the same way about my local police force, who I know very well. They have to come patrol by my house whenever one of these communists is threatening to kill me, so I've gotten to know them quite well. They're wonderful. They've earned my trust over and over again. They come knocking on my door tonight. I'll bend over backwards. I'll get in my truck myself. Let's go looking for them. FBI badge? Nope, sorry. I consider you to be the enemy. I have to assume you are my enemy, here to destroy my life. And I'll never talk to you again. But that's not bad. That's not good. That's terrible. I would like to live in a country where our institutions can be trusted, but they simply cannot be here. They can't be. They can earn it back, though. This is, I'm going to come back to this again and again and again and again, and you're going to hear me harp on this until we get a result. This Russia hoax stuff, with the evidence that's being laid out there, not just you and me talking, hard evidence, we have documentation, we have names, we have emails, we have things like that. If government people aren't prosecuted and convicted and sent to prison for what they did, I do not believe we can save the country. I believe it will accelerate America's end to warp speed, because it will finally convince the American people once and for all that government people can never go to prison. They're always above it all. They're not held to the same standards you and I are. And if that's the kind of country we have now, then it should end. I want to be crystal clear on that. If we live in a country where government people are immune from prosecution for their crimes, but you can get sent to prison for your crimes, then we shouldn't exist anymore. These coming indictments, the trials, Lord willing, that are coming, are everything. And because of what we just talked about, too, the institutional trust. The American people have to see government people burn for the crimes they've committed. And if you can't go to prison for sending the Central Intelligence Agency against your Republican opponents, if that's not enough to send you to prison, then government people can't go to prison. Just give them all immunity. The second you walk into the FBI, CIA, IRS, Congress, I don't care where it is, NSA, just go ahead and hand them all a universal get out of jail free card. Because if you can't go to prison for using the Central Intelligence Agency against your political opponents, then government people can't go to prison, period. And I hope, I'm going to keep beating this drum, because I hope the Trump administration, and more importantly, Pam Bondi, understands those are the stakes of this case. That is what is at stake. This is not yet another case of government corruption. It's not just, well, we have another one. No. This is the final one. This is the Super Bowl. People have to burn for what they did. Because the American people, it's not that they're separating, have separated from their institutions, not just government institutions, I should note. The American people have separated from their institutions. They believe their institutions are hostile to them, work against them. They believe their institutions lie to them without end. And you can't continue as a country without that trust connection with the people in their institutions. I have used the example before of a small village of 100 people. And, you know, they would have institutions too. Let's say there is a hut there that the hut's job is to tell everybody the weather. The people who work in that institution, they tell you the weather, what it's going to be, what's coming, all those other things. Let's say that hut gets taken over by a bunch of evil, selfish dirtballs. And they start lying, openly lying about the weather. Well, if I can't go to that institution and trust what they say, you might as well get rid of the institution entirely. And credit to Kash Patel and Dan Bongino, credit where it's due, they're dumping people. Steve Jansen, Brian Driscoll, you don't know these names. These are evil communists who have been working inside of the FBI against the American people. It was announced today they're fired. That's good. It's a good start. It's not enough. It's a great start. I'm glad they did it. It's not enough. The people inside of our institutions have turned hostile toward us, and now the hostility goes both ways. Didn't start with you. Didn't start with me. I grew up wanting to be in the FBI. I remember the packet they sent me. I bet you money my mom still has it somewhere. As a little kid, 6, 7 years old, as a little kid, I sent them a letter saying, I want to be in the FBI. How do I join the FBI? And they sent me this big fat packet about, you know, this great law enforcement agency. Now I sneer. I roll my eyes. I didn't do that. They did that. We have to get that trust back. And people have to be held accountable for that trust to be back. You can't just tell people to move on. You can't say ignore it. You can't say that was in the past. that doesn't work anymore. We've been lied to by too many of our institutions we should be able to trust. No more moving on. I, however, am going to move on from this, and I'm going to do a bunch more emails. Like I said, I'm behind. Don't worry, we'll get to making fun of the WNBA and other things. First, let's get to your dog and your cat. We lose them too early, and it hurts. You know, they don't live as long as people. It's awful. Isn't it awful? But what if you could push that date further away? Wouldn't you sign up for that right now? If you could start doing something right now that would give you another year, 2 years, 3 years with your dog, your cat, would you do it? Of course you would. That's why I put Rough Greens on Fred's food. It's a green powder. It's a nutritional supplement with live nutrients. You will see physical differences in your dog, probably emotional differences in your dog. His breath will be better. His coat will be better. His energy will be better. His digestive system will work better for the same reason your body works better when you get nutrition. Go to roughgreens.com and try a free jumpstart trial bag. Use the promo code Jesse or call them 214-ROUGH-DOG. Promo code Jesse. All right, emails next.
The Jesse Kelly Show.
It's still real to me, damn it.
Returns next.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a fantastic Thursday. Remember, you can email the show your Ask Dr. Jesse questions for tomorrow, and you need to get them emailed in now to jesse@jessekellyshow.com. Also, me and the fellas, we're working on something big. Not promising we're going to roll it out next week, but it's coming soon. I wouldn't be missing any shows next week, I'll put it that way. Get your Ask Dr. Jesse questions into jesse@jessekellyshow.com. Let's do some emails. Hey, Jesse, I loved your advice on interviews. I did a long rant last night on job interviews. It's tired of watching people screw these things up. Dress for success is so important to get a job. Many times I would get an offer on my first interview. Says he's had about 50 jobs, so on and so forth. I had to interview for a food and beverage director. The owner himself interviewed me. We hit it off and traded stories for 4 hours. I have found that if it feels it's going well, I try to get them talking about themselves. People love to talk about themselves. That's why I wanted to read this. It's not just for job interviews. This is for people who struggle in social situations. And those are not just kids today. Well, it's the phones. I mean, yeah, that may be part of it, of course, but there are adults who suffer from this too. People don't know how to have a conversation. Let me tell you something my buddy does that I not only love, I have adopted in my home with his kids. We were cruising. It was me and my buddy and his kids. All of our kids were in the car, and I'm driving. And I asked one of them, how's football going? He's in football practice, football season. You know, it's two-a-day times, getting ready for football season. And I said, how's football season going? And he gave the standard response that a kid would normally give. Good. It's going good. Buddy steps in immediately. Stop. What kind of an answer is that? That's a one-word answer. That didn't tell him anything. Expand. Multiple sentences. Talk. This is an opportunity to talk, explain something. So that's one thing. The second thing, if you are somebody who struggles talking to people at all, get them talking about themselves. Ask them questions about themselves. You have a conversation by asking people questions. And I'm not saying you have to care, okay? I'm not saying you have to care. I have faked it in 8 million conversations in my 44 years on this planet, talking to the most mind-numbingly boring people you've ever talked to in your life. It's not important that you care. It's important that you pretend. And it's important that you... What, Chris? This is good advice. What are you talking about? It's important that you pretend if you don't care. And so if I'm talking to Chris, which I would never do, if I'm talking to Chris... Hey, where are you from? Oh, I'm from Little Rock, Arkansas. What do I do from there? Do I stop? Do I just let it go? He just told me where he's from. He answered the question. Ask more questions on that. Oh, really? Originally? You were born there? How long did you live there? Did you go to school up there? Oh, what did you do? Every answer is an opportunity to ask them more questions, and human beings almost universally love to talk about themselves. You don't have to be Mr. or Mrs. Personality. Maybe you feel stupid. Maybe you don't like your whatever. Your face, your personality, your whatever. Fine. Ask people questions. You can have a conversation with somebody, and if you have constantly thrown the ball in their court to talk about themselves, and you've been smart enough to pretend to be interested the entire time, they will walk away from that conversation and they will think to themselves, wow, he was great to talk to. She was great to talk to. I can't wait to hang out with her again. Ask people questions. You don't have to talk all the time. It's better if you don't. Shut up and listen. Ask people questions. All right? All right. Jesse, Okinawa is a wild place. Do you think it's haunted? Too much bad stuff happens on such a small island. Okinawa, I mean, we talked about the Battle of Okinawa a lot during the Kamikaze episode, and so you're well aware of all the death that took place then, but it's a place the Japanese really conquered. Okinawans are not Japanese. They certainly don't consider themselves to be Japanese. They consider themselves to be Okinawans, and the Okinawans have a not the best view of the Japanese because of the Japanese brutal occupation. They were conscripting teenage girls by that point in time, by the time we got there. So it was really, really bad. Is it haunted? I don't know. I could see it. So much sadness and so much death has been there. I don't know that I fully believe in the concept of things being haunted either, though. I do believe in the concept of lands being cursed. I've told you before, I believe that Haiti is a cursed land. I think the devil lives there. Its entire history is horrible. It's horrible now. It was always horrible. Just a horrible place. So I believe in the idea of cursed lands, maybe not haunted lands. All right, let's make fun of the WNBA, and we'll get back to some more questions. Before we do that, let's get your meat ready for the weekend. Spend any money on meat lately? You ever ruined a piece of meat? What'd that cost you? It's brutal. I was talking to my mom last night about pork chops, and do I make pork chops? Sorry, Chris. But I told her, look, I love a good pork chop. I stopped buying them because Ob and I bought a few and they're expensive and we kept drying them out. It's a very hard thing to cook. I don't dry them out anymore because of the IQ sense. The wireless cooking thermometer is your key to a good pork chop. It's your key to a good brisket, a good steak, a good chicken. Put the thermometer in there, leave it in the meat, throw it in the oven, throw it on the grill. Throw it in the smoker and just listen for your phone. You don't even have to stay home. Your phone will say, beep, 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 beep. It's done. It's about to be done. Go embrace it. ChefIQ.com. Promo code Jesse saves you 15%. So don't be paying full price. Chris would be mad. ChefIQ.com. Code Jesse. We'll be back.
Truth. Attitude. Jesse Kelly.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a fantastic Thursday. Remember, if you miss any part of the show, you can download the whole thing on iHeart, Spotify, iTunes. So I'm going to use the WNBA, believe it or not, to piggyback on the conversation we just had about having a conversation with people, how to have a conversation, people asking questions, things like that. And I want to explain why that is important. It's important that people like you. And I'm not saying you have to become some people pleaser who goes whichever way the wind blows. You know, that's not what I do. I don't believe in that at all. But you catch more flies with honey than you do with vinegar is more than just a saying. And especially if maybe you're lacking in certain areas, lacking talent in certain areas, which we all do. Look at Chris. We all lack talent at certain things. Maybe you're in a job and maybe if you're being honest with yourself, you're not the best at it. Well, guess what? It's not the end of the world. Not everyone's the best at everything. Otherwise, that wouldn't make any sense, would it? But you need to be nice. You need to be well thought of around the office because you're not the best at it. The WNBA. Nobody cares about it. Nobody watches it. The league loses $40 million a year. Nobody cares about it at all. But there's an opportunity there for them. What is that opportunity? It's a bunch of young women. They could be bright and sunny and happy and appealing. How many times have we watched a woman's sports team? We've watched America fall in love with a woman's sports team. Women's gymnastics happens all the time. I love them. They're so cute. The national women's soccer team, before that angry lesbian Megan Rapinoe took it over and poisoned the entire thing, right before she got there, America loved them. They were America's sweethearts because they were happy and they were pretty and they were wonderful. And so people liked it. They enjoyed it. The second Megan Rapinoe brought her communist poison in there, everyone hates them now. Everyone mocks them now. You're the WNBA. It's not an impressive product. Because basketball is so physical, involving running and jumping and things that women are terrible at. Therefore, basketball is not an impressive thing when women play it. Women are more graceful. You know, gymnastics is where women thrive. Things like that thrive. Basketball, not your sport. Okay, but you want to play professional basketball. Okay. This is Diana Taurasi. Apparently the WNBA is in a big contract negotiation right now. Ladies, this is special for you, especially you young ladies. This is not what you want to be in the corporate world.
I'm the best player in the world, and I have to go to a communist country to get paid like a capitalist. We weren't making that much money, so generational wealth was coming from going to Russia every year. Now we have to come back home and get paid nothing to play in a harder league in worse conditions against the best competition in the world. The janitor at the arena made more than me.
You need to be a lot more appealing than that. The beeping janitor, you even managed to talk down to a blue-collar guy who cleans the toilets in the arena. You even managed to insult the custodian in the building where nobody shows up to watch you play. This is just a word of advice, not for the WNBA. I can't wait till that just goes away completely. This is a word of advice to everybody. Being nice, being well thought of, it'll get you really far, a lot further than constantly nagging and complaining and whining about every freaking thing under the sun. I mean, look, you don't want to be a Democrat, right? Listen, speaking of Democrats, listen to this anchor on CNN. This actually angers me, not because of what the anchor said, but because of how immigration has been thought of in this country. Listen to how horrified he is at the thought of enforcing the law.
In some states, like Massachusetts, 78% of those arrested in community raids had no criminal record. So I wonder how sweeping up these non-criminals makes communities safer.
Well, look, I think the Trump administration has been very clear from the start, which is they're going to continue to prioritize but they're not going to exempt anyone else from immigration law, right? We saw that during 4 years of the Biden administration where they said, we're not going to deport, we're not going to arrest and therefore deport certain classes of illegal aliens here in the United States. And unfortunately, what that does is it just encourages more and more of those types of individuals to come to the country knowing that they'll never be deported. So the Trump administration says, look, everyone's on the table, but we're going to continue to prioritize certain, or I should say, criminal illegal aliens. And of course, certain communities have more of that than others. So it's hard to compare and contrast certain states to other states or certain cities to other cities.
Understood. If this is about deterrence, as you alluded to, and you're detaining students and folks that don't have priors that are here in the United States, just living the American dream and working and may have overstayed a visa, which is a civil offense, not a criminal one, then what exactly are you deterring? Because those folks aren't a public safety threat, right?
I'm going to stop it there. It goes on for another minute. He's just so mortified that somebody would be deported for overstaying a visa. You're not allowed to come here with what is essentially a temporary guest pass and then just stay after the pass is expired. But the minds of so many Americans, certainly American leftists, have been so twisted over the years that you think an illegal shouldn't be deported unless he's an axe murderer. Every single person illegally in this country, men, women, and children, should be apprehended and deported back home. And everybody here who came legally and then overstayed a visa, they should be rounded up too as fast as humanly possible. And that is thought of as some sort of a right-wing policy blows me away. That's immigration policy. That's how countries handle immigration. No, you're not allowed to come here illegally. If I find you here illegally, I will arrest you, possibly imprison you for a time, and then send you back to the country you came from. That's not right wing, or at least it didn't used to be. That's immigration policy. But the American communists have so watered down and twisted the minds of so many people in this country that now it's thought of as some sort of an outrage when an illegal gets arrested at Home Depot. I don't understand. He wasn't actually stabbing anyone at the time. But it does show you, it all comes down to this. I've said it many times before. There are many issues that matter. But there is no better litmus test for how much you love your country than how strict you want to be on immigration. Because you, every single person, you believe in restricting access to things you truly love. Everybody does. You restrict access to who can come in your home, to who can hang around your children. Why? Because you love those things. Therefore, you don't want everyone to have access to them, right? But you want everyone to have access to your country because you don't give a crap about it. I'm not talking to you specifically. I'm talking about the communists. That it really comes down to that. Love of country just simply never enters their mind. Most of those animals hate the place. So that's why we get what we get. You want to do some more emails? Let's do some more emails. I feel like chopping away at those tonight. Before we do those, let's get ourselves feeling good and energized. You think to yourself that as you get older, you're only going to slowly but surely feel worse. As your body breaks down and your mind slows down, I'm going to feel worse. I'm going to feel worse. And look, I can't stop Father Time. I don't want to pretend like I can, but I bet you some chalk will have you feeling a whole lot younger. Some natural herbal supplements from chalk might have you turning back the clock. Did you see that, Chris? Did you hear that? What, Chris? That rhymed and you missed it. Anyway, chalk will turn back the clock. All right, I've decided I love that. Go get some natural herbal supplements from chalk. At least look. Look at what they have. They have huge discounts on subscriptions at chalk.com/Jesse. That's chalk.com/Jesse. Go find out what they have. Even if you just start out with some chocolate powder, maybe you're a workout freak. Get some Chad mode, some pre-workout. Find out how chalk can change your life. Chalk will turn back the clock. Next.
The Jesse Kelly Show.
I like it.
Returns next.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a wonderful Thursday. Remember, tomorrow is Ask Dr. Jesse Friday, and you need to get your questions emailed in now to jesse@jessekellyshow.com. Let's do a bunch of emails. Jesse, I'm thoroughly enjoying your kamikaze history show. If you get a chance, I'd love to hear your take on the Battle of Wake Island. When I was in the Navy, my squadron made refueling stops there on the way to detachments in Japan. It was an amazing experience to walk on the beach and see some of the gun emplacements and bunkers that so many of our guys fought from or died in. There were even some corroded engines from crashed Japanese and U.S. aircraft. Gosh, that's sweet. I looked out from the beach and tried to imagine what it must have been like to see the Imperial Japanese Navy steaming in while knowing there was no help coming. Well, I don't know that I've ever done a long history on Wake Island. We could do a little mini version here, a very, very mini version. Wake Island, for those not familiar, it was a little outpost, a little Navy Marine outpost. You can go look it up where it is. It's in the middle of the Pacific Ocean. It's in the freaking middle of nowhere. That's where Wake Island is. But because of its location out in the middle of the Pacific Ocean, it's obviously extremely valuable for, as he said, a Navy to claim that ground. You claim ground there, you pile up logistics there. It gives you a place to refuel, to get food, to get things like that. And remember, to understand the Japanese plan in World War II, you just have to look at Japan and draw a huge circle around Japan. The idea they had was go conquer not just a bunch of China, but a bunch of islands and widen our circle, widen our area of control. And part of that meant taking places like Guam, like Wake Island. The battle for Wake Island was so awesome, but also sad because nobody on that island had any idea war was coming. You're out there, and this is before jet engines and things like that, remember? So even getting to you is not a fast, easy process. You are out there in the middle of nowhere. You are surrounded by ocean. The Japanese declare war, and they come for you. There's no help coming. We Americans today, we are blessed with a Navy, as much as it pains me to say it, a Navy.
Why are you gay?
We are blessed with a Navy that is, I was going to say all-powerful, but on the ocean, they pretty much are. We can be anywhere. We can go anywhere. We have so many ships and subs and aircraft carriers and things like that. The very idea that there would be a place our Navy couldn't go is crazy to us. But back then, at the beginning of World War II, we just didn't have enough. We weren't good enough. We didn't have enough ships. That's why we couldn't go bail MacArthur out of the Philippines when the Japs attacked there. The Navy couldn't get through. You can want to go help all you want. We didn't have the ships. We didn't have what we needed to go get him out, to go help. You can't do anything. Think about this. We can't even relate to this. They're under attack. American troops under attack in a far-off land. And you can't do anything to help them. Nothing. We can't even relate to that. There's nowhere where we can't be now. Well, that was Wake Island. Went through the exact same thing. The Japanese wanted it. Strategically, it made all the sense in the world for them to take it. And we had a bunch of Marines and sailors. I have to give them all the credit in the world. Those sailors were grabbing weapons just like the Marines were, surrounded, getting strafed. I mean, we're talking air power, Navy power, and fighting with everything they could. And it became one of those things, because they did fight valiantly, very, very valiantly, it became one of those things that became a rallying cry for America. I'll compare it to the Alamo, as a matter of fact. Doomed, you're not going to win. You really can't win. But if you hold your ground, give as best as you can get, you know, take a bunch of them with you, that kind of John Wayne style attitude, that kind of thing inspires people. The Marines on the island, when asking what they need and they say, send more Japs, that's awesome. That's awesome. What do I need? I need more people to kill. Send them over here. And look, even if that stuff gets overblown, and usually when it comes to war and lies and propaganda, that stuff gets overblown, but that's still freaking cool, right? Anyway, we fought. Many died. The others were captured. We lost it for some time, but that's the way it goes. Jesse, since you're now a world-famous beaver hunter, you might be aware of the castor sac, which is located next to the beaver's anus. The sac produces a sweet-smelling substance called castoreum. Castoreum? I don't know how to say that. I went to community college. Chris, did you know about this, the sac? You did? How would you know about it? You're lying, Chris. Chris is telling lies right now. Castoreum, which has been used in perfumes and even has a strawberry or raspberry flavoring on desserts, among other things. What, Chris? It's one of the many perfume additives? I didn't know they used animals for perfume additives. What is whale vomit? Ambergris? How do you know these weird facts? How is it that you, like, you've never seen Braveheart and things like that, but you know these weird facts? It's almost a little creepy at the weird stuff you know. You know what? I'm not asking you anything else anymore. Anyway, the guy says, I think the Jesse Kelly Castoreum products would be an American sensation. What do you think? Here's what I think. I think that we're probably going to need a better selling point for women than this is a sack by a beaver's anus. Look, that may sell to Lindsey Graham. That's not going to sell to women. Maybe that's it. Maybe it could be, instead of a perfume, a cologne. Both senators from South Carolina might be. What, Chris? What? You know, the Rear Admiral. Pete Buttigieg would be all over it, but I don't. We could find more, Chris. It's not like we couldn't find more. There are plenty of them. We just talked about the Navy. Huge market for it there. What, Chris? It's fine. We can make jokes. We still have an hour. Let's talk about punishing the communists. RFK's clamping down on junk food. Next.
This is an iHeart podcast.